Overcast skies, a sprinkle or two here at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. The temperature is 52 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show for this Thursday, April the 27th on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up on the program in just a few minutes at 2:15, going to talk a little bit about something that occurred with the WIAA yesterday. At yesterday's WIAA annual meeting in Stevens Point, the membership approved 4 constitutional amendments. The, I think, most significant was what's called a competitive balance plan that will alter in some way, whether significantly or not, we'll have to wait and see, alter the landscape in high school sports in Wisconsin. And this has been a discussion that's been going on not only for years, but basically for decades, perhaps going back to the year 2000, when the former WISA, the private schools, the WISA organization came to an end at the end of 2000, and then the private schools moved into the WIAA. And to be blunt, there's been a lot of sniping from certain quarters about what's fair, what's unfair, and there's been proposals over the years, but nothing had been passed until yesterday. It was by a vote of 265 to 155, a competitive balance plan featuring 2 parts that provide options for teams to be elevated in tournament play or even to move down. Basically, it's a tournament performance factor piece, which assigns points to each team based on their postseason success. And if a threshold of points is accumulated in a rolling 3-year period, teams would be moved up a division with an appeal option in place. And the second part of the plan allows all teams to request to move down a division with certain factors they can base their appeal on to justify a change. So it's going to be significant changes starting in the 2024-2025 school year. And we're going to talk about this with Jimmy Cuska of Civic Media. He's a man who I see around the state of Wisconsin. He also does a lot of high school sports coverage like I do. And we're going to kind of bounce it around a little bit in terms of what this means. Will it make a big difference or not? And does it as well punish schools that work harder? To be honest with you, I mean, there's a lot of aspects to this that are mentioned, but one is, are your coaches working harder? Are your players working harder? Are your students working harder? We'll have to unpack, and we'll do that with Jimmy Cuska coming up at 2:15. Also, a little bit later in the program, going to talk about the Bucks, because last night was a disappointing end. Bucks fell to the Miami Heat in overtime in Game 5 of their Eastern Conference first-round series, and going to hear some comments made by Giannis afterwards. He was asked about whether or not it's a failure. And again, I think it's so easy from the outside to point fingers, to talk about embarrassment and failures and label it because you're so emotionally involved from the outside. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Also talk a little bit more about our good buddy Ron Johnson as he continues to have, a busy week. And we'll make it a day 3 in a row. Talk about Ron Johnson, what he's been up to and what he's been saying. Started in Milwaukee, went back to Washington, and he's still talking into those microphones. As I've talked about previously, you got folks who are workhorses and you got guys that are show horses. And I think that Ron Johnson is definitely the latter. We'll talk about that coming up later on. on in the program as well. Don't forget that when I'm done here, I'm going to be heading over to Wausau West High School. The Warriors taking on the D.C. Everest Evergreens in high school baseball. Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup between two of the top teams in the WVC. You can hear the game live online, BowlFallsRadio.com, and click on Sports 2 Stream. Again, go to BowlFallsRadio.com. You'll see a listing of what's on the air right now. Go beyond what's coming up in the next couple of hours, and then you'll see rather small print. It'll say Sports 2 Stream and Sports 3 Stream. At 4:20, click on Sports 2 Stream, and you'll be able to hear me call the action from Wausau West High School Warriors and the D.C. Everest Evergreens. Second meeting of the week between these squads. The Evergreens, behind a terrific pitching performance on Tuesday, knocked off the Warriors by a score of 1-0. D.C. Everest now tied for first in the WVC at 3-1. The Warriors just one half game behind at 3-2 in the conference. So 4:20 for the pregame, 4:30 for the first pitch. Wausau West and D.C. Everest, BowlFallsRadio.com, Sports 2 Stream. You'll also, if you can't catch the game this afternoon on our website, you can tune in tonight starting at 7 o'clock. We'll have coverage here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. That will be on a tape delay basis. But we're going to take a timeout and talk a little bit more high school sports. Again, the new passage of the competitive balance plan. What does it mean? What will it mean to schools in our area? We'll talk about that with Jimmy Cuska coming up as we continue on this Thursday. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Holmes back with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Dreaming of dryness. We just heard the weather forecast again. Looks like going to stay dry enough for our high school baseball broadcast later on this afternoon. Wausau West hosting D.C. Everest again live on BullFallsRadio.com. Sports 2 Stream at 4:20 and on tape delay tonight at 7 o'clock here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And speaking of dreams as well, all those high school athletes who are hoping to win state championships, the dreams of state gold. Well, a little bit of a change in terms of maybe how those dreams will be accomplished. Yesterday at the WIAA meeting in Stevens Point, a membership approved an amendment, competitive balance plan, that could change the landscape in terms of high school sports starting with the 2024-2025 school year. And to talk a little bit about this from Civic Media, and as I mentioned, somebody I've seen out and about around the state covering high school sports over the years, Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, first of all, thanks for spending a few minutes.
Hey, glad to be here. Glad to talk high school sports. This is a hot topic this week because it's a topic that affects literally everybody who's got any kind of stake in high school athletics in Wisconsin.
And you're in central Wisconsin. We got it on, I think, you know, you talk about this does not specifically go into the public-private aspect, but here in central Wisconsin, we've got what's been an exceptionally successful smaller private school at Newman Catholic with state championships this season, both in high school football on the eight-man side and with high school boys basketball. And, of course, we have the larger public schools with Wausau West, Wausau East, D.C. Everest, just to name a few here in the Wausau area. Before we start delving into what it means, maybe just a thumbnail sketch. What happened yesterday? Because this has been a long time coming. What was passed by the WIAA?
Well, the thumbnail sketch of it is this. Back in 2000, and you led the show with this, the WISA schools, the private schools, were absorbed into the WIAA, became part of the membership. So the WIAA membership includes public and private schools. And for a lot of the small and medium schools over the years, there's been a bit of a resentment to the fact that the small rural public schools have had to compete with private schools that are in more urban areas in the WIAA tournaments. In fact, that came to a head in 2014. And they formed, at that point, a similar competitive balance committee to try to, I guess, mitigate that a bit, try to level the playing field. That plan failed in the vote in 2015 at the annual meeting, and everybody kind of went back to the drawing board. And that came to this new committee, which was formed last year, to address the issues that enrollment, you know, being the what places teams in divisions in the tournament sports, being the sole factor, it was showing, and the data was showing that there were inequities in that. And so the committee formed a plan that would take into account other factors beyond enrollment in moving teams up and down a division. So there's two components really to it. The first component is the success factor, where if you advance deep enough into a WIAA tournament, you're going to get a certain number of points. For example, if you win state, you get 4 points in that sport. And if you get 6 points in a 3-year span, you get moved up a division. The other component to this is that there is, and this is different from what happened back in 2014, 2015, is there's an appeals process that if you're, say, a small school that has a group of student athletes that come through, and you have this unprecedented run, you win state, mm-hmm. you make the playoffs 2 or 3 years in a row, but, you know, once that group leaves, instead of punishing the kids that are coming in behind that, there's an appeals process for schools to say, well, wait a minute, this was kind of unprecedented for us. And then there's a committee of administrators, athletic directors, superintendents, principals from the schools in the state that will hear these appeals, and they'll decide where to place teams in the tournament series. There are deadlines for making these appeals, et cetera. But the long and short of it is that there is a success factor that will move you up a division in the postseason, and there is a relief or appeals process if you think that your school, for whatever reason, shouldn't be moving up a division. So that is, I guess, the thumbnail sketch of what is a very, very long PDF of the WIAA website.
Any idea in terms of, because I've seen, on Wiz Sports yesterday, in the write-up, Travis Wilson wrote that will significantly alter the landscape in high school sports in Wisconsin. I've talked to other coaches who think that it's not going to significantly alter the landscape of high school sports here in Wisconsin. Any idea how many schools, you know, say it was already in place this year? Any idea how many schools would be impacted by these by this new competitive balance plan?
I talked to the committee at the State Education Convention in Milwaukee in January that I attended, and I sat through their one-hour presentation on it. I spoke to them for almost 2 hours after the fact, just kind of working through some of that. That was a question I had, is whether they had mocked any of that up. And it was a cautious response. I think they know what that number may be, but they were quick to clarify that you don't know the exact number because if you're looking at it just on a straight points basis, sure, you can come up with a number of schools. But because there is that relief process, that appeals process, and there's also a preseason process where you can argue to go up or down a division, you know, there's a process in place for it. Without knowing those variables, they're not going to say, they're going to be very hesitant to say this is how many schools would be affected, because for some of those schools, maybe they get an approved appeal to stay in the division they were in originally because of, say, their demographics, or the fact that, you know, historically, you know, they've never won state, and then they come out of nowhere and have two really good years with a special group mm-hmm. of student athletes. So they'd be reluctant to that. I think that there are a couple of people out there. You mentioned Travis Wilson of Wisports.net. I'm sure there are a couple of people that have gone through and just done the point totals and said, here's how many schools would be moved in which sports. And I'm sure it's well into the dozens, because there are a lot of WIAA sports. But I don't think that that you can take that fully into account without considering the context that there is also an appeals process, and that hasn't been implemented and won't be until 2024.
Again, we're talking to Jimmy Cuska from Civic Media about the passing of the competitive balance plan by the WIAA at their annual meeting in Stevens Point yesterday. You talked as well about being a 3-year rolling cycle here. Sometimes it feels like when you look at that, you're kind of chasing the tail in a sense that we have this opportunity to appeal that, say, like a special group. And I would point out like a group like Newman Catholic had this year, their entire starting five that won the state boys basketball championship, and their top two off the bench were all seniors. And, you know, theoretically, they could have won 3 years in a row. They had a couple of upsets the previous 2 years, and obviously it's going to be a rebuilding project. But I would think the idea would be for a team like that to, I think, a lot of the smaller rural schools that, let's face it, I mean, I know you've been out there a lot. I've been out there a lot. There's a lot of sniping out there. There's a lot of being in a larger community and the idea of recruiting, which I will argue to my dying breath, does not occur at the level that the people that complain about it do. But is this plan going to almost be like too late to handle some of the situations where, say, a group, as we talk about, wins and then they're gone? And there are one or two or three, and you know, you see some programs that are continuously outstanding. But at the same time, is this a little bit of like chasing the tail and never really catching it?
I think there's a couple of parts to this. First, that public-private school debate has existed since WISA members became part of the WIAA. But that's the thing. The membership in the WIAA is the schools. Schools is the WIAA, right? It's the same. So the schools all voted for this collectively. There were private schools and public schools on the committee that developed this plan, and it's not a perfect plan. I think there's a perfect plan, it would have been implemented by now, right? This plan is largely modeled off of what Colorado does, and that's really the one they really base this on. There are others that they borrow ideas from, especially like a school or a state like Minnesota. They tried basing the previous plan on what Illinois is doing with Multiplier, but it kind of brings these elements in. It's not a perfect plan, but one thing that you kept hearing throughout this process is that it's a start. To start addressing what they say statistically are inequities between schools. One of the very first open session comment made at the annual meeting was by a small school in northwestern Wisconsin in Siren, home of the Dragons. Their representative talked about their school demographics and how far they are from big cities and resources. It talked about the schools that are in their sectionals that are playing in the greater Eau Claire area, the resources they have where they only have to go, say, 20 minutes to a college camp for developing athletes versus having to drive 2 hours from far northwestern Wisconsin. Talked about, you know, the socioeconomic status of the student body, things like that. And I think that's why a lot of those things were brought into that appeal part of the process, that relief part of the process, is to try to address some of that. There's not going to be a plan that's going to, I guess, a one-plan catch-all kind of deal. And I think that, especially for private schools in this, I think it's kind of, you got to be careful to not say like this is just out there to punish, you know, private schools specifically, and punish is probably the wrong word, you know, but there's a really strong voice in the room saying that, well, the programs that are continually having a high level of success at the small and medium school level, they should be bracketed with stronger competition. And I think just off the top of my head, a great example would be in Division IV in football. Catholic Memorial football, a school that plays Division I and II teams all year, and now they're dropping down to Division IV based solely on enrollment. Mm-hmm. And until last year, it was kind of a glorified coronation for them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the situation I think this is trying to avoid, trying to give a sense that, an acknowledgement that there's more to putting things together in a tournament that's equitable for all, that isn't based solely on one metric, and that being enrollment. This, I think, is their way of moving down the road of acknowledging that there are other factors in play when it comes to equity in high school sports.
And I imagine that the vote itself says something as well, that this was something that, because you mentioned as well that in the past, nothing has passed. Now an opportunity to see, as you said, maybe a step in the right direction for the membership to see how this works starting in 2024.
Yeah, and it was an overwhelming vote. I mean, 265 to 115 is a landslide. Yep. And the schools are opting into this. This is a school vote to say this is what we want. And if 70% of schools are saying we got to do something, more than two-thirds of the schools, a supermajority, if you will, if you want to steal a political term, are saying this is what we want to do, I think that tells you that there's been a desire to have a plan that is fair but flexible. And I think that's the right way to assess this, at least in the short term, is that it's a start. They have to start somewhere. After 23 years and 24 years, once we get to the actual implementation, and like you said, I think this is where they begin addressing this issue of equity in high school sports.
going to be interesting, that's for sure. But again, it's good to see a vote that's not a 51-49 vote percentage-wise, but and then now a chance to see exactly how it works starting in 2024-25. Jimmy, again.
Yeah, and you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just right now, I mean, the points are being accrued right now. So if people are wondering what's next for this, I guess I would just say they're tallying the points now for when this is implemented in 2024. Since anything from last school year through the implementation of this plan is going to affect how they begin this process coming up here real soon.
Very good point. Well, Jimmy, again, thanks for the information and keeping an eye on this. And hopefully you can get out there and do some games just like I can.
Oh, that's what I'm doing, man. I just wrapped up college baseball and softball season. I'm moving on to high school now next week. So,
Jimmy Cuska, we're going to take a quick break and come back. Chad Holmes on WXCO. On Thursday, it's a Wisconsin Valley Conference baseball showdown as the Wausau West Warriors play host to the DC Everest Evergreen. Hear the game live online only at BullFallsRadio.com and clicking on the Sports 2 stream starting at 4:30. The game will also air on a tape delay basis on Thursday night at 7 p.m. on Full Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, FullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Wausau West High School Sports on Full Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, Varney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, and the Wausau West Athletic Department. It's Wausau West taking on DC Everest in high school baseball Thursday, starting at 4:30, live online at BullFallsRadio.com and clicking on the Sports 2 stream, and also on tape delay at 7 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Home show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to Jimmy Cuska talking about the competitive balance plan that was passed by the WIAA membership yesterday in Stevens Point. A couple of other thoughts on that discussion. Number one, as mentioned, this has been a discussion that's been going on since 2001. When the WISA organization closed down and the private schools moved into the WIAA. I'm old enough to remember prior to 2000 when there were separate state championships. There was a WISA state championship and a WIAA state championship. And there was always this talk from the public school side that, you know, the real state champion was the WIAA state champion, that they were better than the WISA teams. And then after the WISA teams moved over, and a certain percentage, and I've seen some studies that the percentage of private schools that have won state championships at the WIAA level is actually lower than the number of private schools that are participating. So it's not a case of they're dominating at all. Public schools are winning a greater percentage by a long shot. But the idea that before 2000, the idea of WIAA being much better than WISA, and they would, you know, being the true state champion, and then all of a sudden turning around saying, well, it's not fair that we're competing against WISA schools. Number two, it's very true that, boy, the opportunities in a larger metro area can be a little bit skewed as opposed to some of the rural schools, say, in northwestern Wisconsin that do have to go a long way to certain facilities, to certain training, and other areas where they're able to improve themselves. So I think that the idea of having this discussion and trying something is not a horrible thing. But at the same time, underlying all of this, and something I've heard is as well, is whether you are a public school or a private school that succeeds, it's not strictly based on the items listed on the agenda discussing this plan, competitive balance. Yes, socioeconomic matters do matter. Yes, having a population that you can reach into to be able to fill your school and then, of course, fill your athletic teams as well is definitely a factor. But some of the things that have been said over the years to make it sound like, well, it's just completely unfair. Well, there are aspects of how hard do your coaches work? How talented are your coaches? Are they going off on a fishing trip on the weekend, or are they opening up the weight room? Or are they looking at tape and looking at film and developing game plans for the next Friday night's game? Again, I was doing a Newman Catholic playoff football game last fall, and right in front of my broadcast booth, there was a fan from the other side screaming about basically wanting us to hear in the booth, making comments about recruiting and how Newman brought in all these kids from outside the area, that they were living in like the Milwaukee area and coming all the way up here. If you look at the roster, there were exactly zero of those kids on it. These are all kids from the Wausau area. So there's this discussion that I've heard over the years that sort of denigrates some of the success that was had by Newman in the last couple of years on the football field, and this year winning a state championship on the boys' basketball side. So again, I'm not saying that some of the aspects that are going into this competitive balance plan aren't good. We're going to see. We're going to see how this works out. But, boy, there's been a lot of misinformation out there as well. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not this truly is a game changer. Will this, as Wiss Sports wrote, this competitive balance plan that will significantly alter the landscape in high school sports in Wisconsin, will it? I don't know. I'm not sure. We're going to have to wait and see exactly how many schools are affected by this. And an interesting aspect is the second part, the teams that are able to request to move down a division. I think that's something that's going to be interesting to watch as well, because there are schools that feel like they are not able to compete at the level that they're at for whatever reason. Maybe this will be a good thing as well, because we all want competition, but we also want those that do the right things, who do the best coaching, who do the weightlifting, who work on their games. That should count just as much as well, not just trying to skew the way that things are set up to get the results that you want, because that's not the way to go either. So, again, it was, I thought, a very interesting story to talk about, and, again, very happy that Jimmy Cuska was able to give his thoughts on it and explain it a little bit more fully than I did in the first segment. Okay, let's turn the page, and I haven't done this in a while. What are they talking about over at WSAU? And I think one of the great things now about civic media is we got a chance here on Bull Falls Radio to give a different perspective on the news, a different perspective on the issues than they do over many, many years across town over at WSAU Radio. And they certainly, right now, if you want to get a different perspective, you certainly can get one. If you flipped over there right now, you'd be able to hear the one, the only Mr. Sean Hannity giving his thoughts. And one of Sean Hannity's former colleagues, of course, is Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was fired earlier this week. And there was a commentary on WSAU this week after Tucker was let go. And the thing about it is we can disagree on issues, but please don't try to shovel your thoughts in a way that just doesn't pass the smell test. And one of the people that is on the WSAU morning show is Chris Conley, and I've talked about Chris and his point of view at times, but I just thought this commentary by Conley was so far off the mark, I wanted to kind of share it and give my thoughts on it. And he said that in his commentary, he was as surprised as anyone to hear that Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Conley Rotti was a primetime dynamo and one of the leading conservative commentators in the United States. I would say he's probably one of the leading white supremacist commentators in the United States. But the thing about it, he says, you've heard of Occam's razor, which states that the simplest explanation is usually right. He says, and this is where I just disagree completely, that suggests that this is about economics, not politics. He says, everyone who works in the media knows this is an audience-driven business. I agree with that 100%. Our existence is based on selling advertising, based on how many people show up. Suppose, hypothetically, Conley said, I convinced one of my bosses that my salary should be $5 million. Also, let's suppose that my ratings are fabulous. A large audience each day is hanging on my every word. But after selling each and every commercial, suppose the show only brings in $1 million in revenue. Well, my position will always be precarious. At some point, either advertising rates would have to go up, I'd be asked to take a cut, pay cut, or I'd be let go. That all makes sense. That makes sense. But that's not what happened this week with Tucker Carlson. He goes, yes, Tucker Carlson figured in the Dominion voting technology settlement, a whopping $787 million. But it's much more likely that Fox News couldn't make the economics of Tucker's show work for them. No, that's not the case. I mean, come on. The week after the Dominion voting technology settlement, that was the time that Fox News decided, well, we just can't make this work with our number one rated talker. Again, I got no issue with them talking however they want to talk over there. But don't pull the wool over people's eyes. There's so much more. There's so much more to it. It's so much to do with how he fits in the whole Fox ecosystem, how he pushed it. I saw a story this week that said there is even a line at Fox News. You may not think so, but there is. There is a line that everybody has to kind of toe. How far can you push it? Yeah, they push it a lot further than many other places, but there is still a line. And Tucker Carlson, with his use of far-right, QAnon, I mean extremist sources that proved to not be true, crossed that line. That's why he was let go. He pushed it over the line, and it cost right now $787.5 million, and there are still other lawsuits out there, including one of his producers, who claims that Tucker Carlson ran a very sexist, misogynist show. I mean, that behind the scenes. And, I mean, Fox News sees that, and apparently some of the redacted texts that were involved. He did not say nice things about his bosses, including a woman who leads Fox News. So again, to say this is simply a dollars and cents market-based decision by Fox News to move on from Tucker Carlson is not looking at the truth. And that's one of the keys where the listener of the right-wing media ecosystem, they hear what Fox News tells them. They didn't say a whole much about this lawsuit from Dominion. And then they listen in the morning to the good folks at the WSAU Morning News. And then when Chris Conley comes on and says, well, this has nothing to do with what Tucker Carlson had to say or what Tucker Carlson did behind the scenes at Fox News or what Tucker Carlson said about his bosses, that's not true. And that's what they hear. So they're going to believe their trusted voice, Chris. But Chris is, you know, again, I'm not going to say he's telling a lie because he may truly believe this. I mean, if he does, I don't think he's very bright about this story because there is so much evidence out there. If you look beyond Fox News, maybe he doesn't watch anything but Fox News. I don't know. But the idea that this was simply that Fox News and Tucker Carlson couldn't come to a proper number to pay him, that's what happened a week after this nearly, you know, whopping nearly $1 trillion settlement with Dominion and with maybe another trillion to come in other settlements? No, that's not the case. This has to do with crossing the line. And there's lines here. I mean, I have to be aware that I can't just throw anything at the wall and hope it sticks. There has to be a sense of truthfulness that my bosses can, you know, feel trustworthy of what I'm saying. And I don't think the bosses, starting at the top with Rupert Murdoch, could trust that Tucker Carlson knew what the line was. That Tucker Carlson felt like the rules did not apply to him. That he was so popular, he could do anything that he wanted. No, there are consequences. As popular as anybody sitting in front of a microphone might be, you're not so popular that they can't replace you. And I think Tucker Carlson found that out this week. Going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. Again, it's an overcast day here in central Wisconsin. Temperature's a little bit warmer in the low 50s right now, 52 degrees. Seen a sprinkle or two, but hopefully the rain will hold off for the rest of the afternoon. We'll have a complete look at what to expect weather-wise as we get to the weekend. It's going to, again, be wet and chilly for Saturday and Sunday. We'll get all the details coming up at 3:06 when we get a chance to talk to Ray Miller, our weatherology.com meteorologist. Again, that's at 3:06. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Civic Media just reporting a breaking news story. A train has derailed in Crawford County in Wisconsin, injuring 4. Again, if you don't follow Civic Media, whether on Twitter or on Facebook, there is a breaking news feature on Facebook as well with Civic Media. Do it. Follow Civic Media both on Twitter and Facebook, and you'll be able to keep up to date on breaking news. And we do a very good job with our news team led by Terry Bell of providing the breaking news story. So again, just in the last minute, Civic Media has put out a train is derailed in Crawford County here in Wisconsin, injuring 4. So again, go to civicmedia.us as well to get up to speed on news stories around the state of Wisconsin. The time is 2:52. Here on this overcast Thursday afternoon. I was talking again about high school sports. And part of the issue going on right now in terms of the Wausau school consolidation for some folks is the thought that somehow sports are a bigger factor than what I believe it is. Just yesterday, there was another opportunity for citizens to meet with Wausau School District administrators and leaders within the district, as one of the ideas that's been passed by the school board is to go out and try to have meetings from time to time, give folks, again, an additional opportunity to learn more about the consolidation plan and to ask questions, make comments, and just be an open forum. And yesterday there was an opportunity for one of these meetings in Wausau. And there were some folks that, again, were trying to let the administrator know that they are not in favor of the restructuring plan. Talking about a couple of issues within high school sports. A couple of residents had comments on it. One talked about the fact that with a consolidated high school where Wausau West and Wausau East become Wausau High School again, as has been passed, the opportunities are significantly cut. And I will say it, that is an absolutely true statement. And I know that the administration has talked about the opportunities in some areas, say like the theater. If you have X number of students interested in theater, well, you can just do more shows within one school because you have the East End Players at Wausau East. You got the Wausau West theater department, and they do their separate shows each year. And I think normally there may be a show in the fall and a show in the spring. But if you have one school where you have a lot more students who are interested in theater, then perhaps maybe you double the number of productions within one school. So you have the same number of productions and hopefully the same number of opportunities for the students at the new Wausau High School. But with high school sports, I know they've talked about expanding intramural activities. That's not the same. There's nothing like having an opportunity to play varsity sports, whether it's being out on the soccer pitch at 4:30 on an afternoon, whether or not it's being out on the basketball court at 7:15 under the lights, or on the football field at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Nothing like those opportunities to be a varsity athlete. And one of the negative aspects of this is the fact that there will not be that same level of opportunity because you, instead of having a varsity squad at Wausau East and a varsity squad at Wausau West, you'll just have one varsity squad within the sport for Wausau High School. Also, another speaker at this meeting yesterday talked about the fact that they're concerned about maybe new sports facilities being a factor in this consolidation plan. And the administrator said that's not the case. And I'm going to come out and say I talk to a lot of folks involved in athletics as part of my work. And people that I trust, that's not the case. And also, something I want to say. The idea of improving the facilities in Wausau for high school athletics is not a bad thing. Of course, it shouldn't be done in place of more, I'll call them, more significant, maybe more important aspects being education, of course, but extracurricular activities are part of the process of growing these young people. And if you go around the state of Wisconsin and look at some of the facilities that are out there, it's not that we have to keep up with everybody here in central Wisconsin. But at the same time, you need to be able to give the opportunities as well academically, and I also think within the extracurricular activities as well. So again, I've heard this spoken about a number of times during the course of the run-up to the school board election and even after the school board election, that somehow sports has this bigger than necessary factor in this consolidation plan. From everything that I've heard, and I from people that I do trust, no, I don't believe that is the case at all. But again, that's one of the reasons why I think the communication in the run-up to the vote, where they voted 7-2 to pass this consolidation plan, was not good enough. Frankly, it was not good enough. And I know we talked to school board president Jim Boucher. We've talked to the vice president, Lance Trollope. We've talked to candidates who mentioned that, in the run-up to the election that they felt like, nope, this communication was not good enough. It wasn't. And that's one reason why they're having these meetings. But I think, at this point, it's almost you're trying to catch up. You shouldn't have to try and catch up at this point in terms of getting folks on board when the numbers, as they say, show that this is something that has to be done. And we'll have a chance actually coming up in the next week or so to talk to Jillian Bettino, who is one of the candidates who did not win in the school board election. I want to, again, delve into, the campaign and also in terms of the issues because even if somebody runs for office and doesn't win, they're still citizens, still involved. Talk about what she wants to see happen and maybe some of the areas that she's looking at when we get her back on the program very, very soon. So we had a chance to talk to Fred Thiele after the election. We're going to get a chance to talk to Jillian Bettino. Great to have, President Jim Boucher on earlier this week. We'll have him back on. Lance Trollope will get back on as well, and other members of the school board to continue to educate, to let people know exactly what is going on. It's a very important issue. Very important for the kids, for the families, and for the community itself as we continue the process of consolidation that ultimately, at this point, it's been passed, will lead to a Wausau High School coming up in the fall of 2024. We got another hour to go. Got a news update coming up. Then we'll talk to our meteorologist, Ray Miller, and a whole bunch more here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.